Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the what I would call the Apostle Floyd's fireside chat. I will want to welcome you tonight. I am in great spirits, feeling good and excited about this thing that God is doing in my life, and especially excited about what he's doing in my life in regards to where he's taking me. And so I'm just happy and elated that he's doing some things that, you know, I never expected, and that it just brings a level of excitement to me. I may not sound like it because I'm keeping my feet on the ground, but God has been extremely good. And before we get off into what we want to talk about tonight, just want to go into a word of prayer real quickly. If you could, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you tonight. Father, we feel enriched. We feel endowed, Father. We feel prepared, and God, we're ready to move forward. Father, we pray, God, that the things that you have given us to say tonight, oh God, be food for the spirit of the people that are listening, oh God. Break bread with us tonight, Father. God, share the flow and the meat of your wisdom, oh God. And God, pour into us, oh Lord, the blood and the strength of your power. We thank you, Father. Oh God, you take over tonight like you have done many other days, and you speak to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, dear heart, you know, we have been discussing for at least going on 2 months the making of a leader. And I feel extremely blessed to talk about this subject, you know, because it's an eye-opener. If you all haven't gotten the book, The Making of a Leader, I want you to get it. I will be going back into chapter 3 next week. But this week, I just really want to, again, this is a preparation for chapter 3. If you all have not noticed, I'm not a religious man. I'm really not. You know, I'm a man that loves God, and I think there's a difference. And oftentimes you may hear me say that. Religious people have a tendency to have a one-way thought, and it's more based upon how they believe God or how they believe God exists. And I'm a man that loves God, so I'm not into the organizational structures of whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Holiness, Apostolic, even though I'm in Oxford myself and have been called, ordained, an apostle of the Lord. I think that's a function and not so much as a title, but we're going to get into that later. I'm not really into those things that keep people bound. I believe that God has given us freedom in the spirit, and that is victorious when you can operate and live that way. If you've noticed, you know, especially the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been explicitly transparent about me and my thoughts and how God has dealt with me on some things and dealing with me. And so I kind of backed off last week of really diving into some other issues, but I wanted to express to you the things I believe God was dealing with me about. Because that should be who I am, wherever I am, with whoever I'm standing in front of, or whether I'm by myself. I should be that person. And I found myself kind of deviating from a business perspective of being very rigid, very hardcore. And I discovered that the people that really wanted to deal with me had become accommodatable to who I was. No nonsense. and really not trying to discover new people, but really at the heart of it, just trying to do business. And, you know, and I discovered through talking to various people that do business with me, they begin to sound like me in a bad way. And so I had to address that, you know, and apologize to them because they had become rigid and in a sense, not disrespectful, but just real rigid, you know. And in some businesses, people can push you to become that person, but we have the strength and the power to overcome that. Now, I'll tell you why I'm going into this here shortly. You know, so it's essential now in this hour that the real servants, no, I didn't say leaders, the real servants come forward. The real servants. It's essential in this hour that the real servants come forward. And those people have to be folks that are willing to be transparent and not concerned about name being in lights, on billboards, on handkerchiefs, pieces of paper, or even face going across social media. The real servants. And I'm going to read something tonight that we read many a times, and we just don't dig down deep enough into it. And it's going to address something. It is really going to address something. And, you know, unless you are Muslim and you have the Quran, everyone else is reading King James, reading the Bible, whether it be King James, New King James, the Living Bible, the New International Bible, American, you know, language Bible. They're reading the Bible and the Muslims are reading the Quran. And so, but there's something that brings us together, whether we are Hindu, whether we are Judaism, you know, whether we are in some type of Christianity, you know, whether we're non-denominational. Something brings us together. Now, I want to address that because as I address what brings us together, there's something that separates us as well. So, you know, keeping all this in mind, transparency, being able for the servants, I'm a servant, for the servants to be able to be transparent to the people that God has given them to use to serve him. And what I mean by that is that as servants, right? God is in the people business, so he sends us people that we may serve him. But our true service comes through the people that God has sent our way. So when we live a life to where we cannot deal with people or cannot associate ourselves with people, we have to ask ourselves, what good are we to God? How can we serve God when he's in the people business and we don't want to be? So there's some things that we have to address in saying that, and hopefully tonight that we can do that. So if you looked at the post tonight, I posted on Facebook and in my personal page that I wanted to start in Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, everybody thinks that, you know, they know the essence of this, and I want to read it. I really do, because I believe it's important. And I think that as we read things, we need not a seat of the pants explanation about it, but we need to be able to dig a little deeper into this. And for those that have your electronic Bibles or your paper Bibles where you're flipping pages, you know, if you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 9. And so the most significant verse here is not the one that you're thinking of, and we'll get to the significant one shortly. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so now I read these. We all are familiar with Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about that. But if you've noticed now, the writer of the book of Ephesians, the letter to Ephesus, the letter, I want to stress that now, this is the letter that Paul writes to the Ephesian church or the people in Ephesus. And he says that, you know, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And so he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So this is interesting here, and because of only one reason. To me, Paul addresses the travel or the itinerary spiritually of Jesus, and that he had ascended in the earth, or that he had went to hell, right? I said that he had went into hell and preached and then came out of hell, the grave, no victory, death can even begin to hold him, and that he returns with power, with the authority, known some as the king. And then he ascends before them. Now notice again now, Paul addresses that as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ takes place, that Jesus descends into hell. 1 Peter 3:19 speaks that he went there to preach to the unbelieving, and as he comes out, grave nor death can hold him. But he goes to hell for one specific thing, and that is his whole purpose for coming in the earth was to redeem us. But the process of redeeming us, he descends into hell and he grabs the keys, the authority that Adam gave up when Adam sinned. If you notice now, if you go back into the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, you know, when Adam comes, he has the authority. God gave it to him. And so when Adam sins, he loses that authority. Jesus goes to hell to recapture it, and the only way that he could get into hell, he had to have sin on him. I want y'all to hear me now. I'm going somewhere. Just follow me real quickly. And so you notice that Jesus says in the Gospels that he says that he had a problem now drinking of this bitter cup. Oh, God, why must I drink of this bitter cup? Let this pass from me.
But in the cup now was everything that was wrong with us. He knew no sin, but now he had to partake of sin and put sin on him that would give him access to get into hell. And so when Jesus would go to hell, now Paul interjects and says he descends. And he grabs the keys and he comes out of hell victorious. He raises himself from the dead. And as he comes out, the Bible declares or says or is written that when Jesus came out of the grave, he brought the dead in Christ with him. They walked around the earth. Yeah, I want y'all to see some power in this now. And, you know, the dead walked among us, and then Jesus appears to Mary. And he also then sends a message, and he comes to the disciples, and he ascends up, and as he ascends now, he's ascending. Paul is addressing this in the heavens. He ascends that we all may be filled. Boy, I tell you, man, this is some good stuff. And now, if we're going to be filled, Jesus says, I'm going to send you a comforter. And so this comforter, this spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, depending on who you're talking to, how old they are, right, comes back, and the disciples are now apostles, watch it now, or have been delivering the message. Peter had a consistent message that put all of them under one accord. And then there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it sealed the whole room, and they began to speak in unknown tongues. So now Paul addresses the ascension, coming out, the ascension, and then the seal. So now, after he does that, he then addresses the Ephesian church. He did not address the Corinth church. He did not address the church in Colossia. He did not address the church in Galatia. He didn't. He addresses the Ephesian church, the church in Ephesus. And we should not assume that the letter that he wrote to Ephesus, that the Corinthians read it as well. I'm trying not to be religious here. I want you all to grab a hold of this. We cannot assume that the letter he wrote to Ephesus, that the people in Corinth or Galatia or Colossia read the same letter, because he was sending something different to them, but yet he wanted to tell the church in Ephesus about the gifts, and there had to be something that was sparked, that the idea that he would address them to say that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. I want to say something here. Anybody that is interviewing for a job, if you're interviewing for a job, when you see the job description, the majority of the time, the description is indicating the responsibilities surrounding the issues company is having. I want y'all to hear me now. Oh, Lord. When you're looking at the description of a job, you are really looking at the pieces that has become vitally important for that particular organization. Because if you are a payroll manager, the payroll process is going to be the same unless you have a different software. And if you have a different software, the issues are going to be different because the application of the software works differently. However, the end result should be the same. I want y'all to grasp a hold of that now. If you are a mechanic and this is a diesel mechanic, right, they want you to know the issues that go on with these different diesel engines, you know. And so they're not going to give you a description of a non-diesel engine when they need someone that specializes in the diesel engine. I'm going to go a little bit further. Even in the medical field, you deal with nurses. An oncology nurse that has a specific area of responsibility and to patients and dealing with certain cancers is not going to have the identical job description for a nurse working in the ER. And so if they need an oncology nurse, they're really going to address the present issues that they're having in their department. So now, Paul so tells the Ephesians church about how Jesus now has given the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, which is good, but I don't think that was the essence or the key of what he was saying. And then after he says that, he goes on to say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here now, I believe Paul begins to get into the real issue, that the saints need to be perfected, because this was the purpose of Jesus putting these gifts, not titles now, these gifts in the earth. He was not going to use or be there himself to perfect the body of Christ. So he was going to use imperfect men and women. This is spiritual now, not gender bias. He was going to use imperfect people that have flaws, folks that have issues, to perfect those in the body of Christ. I know that don't make sense. But Jesus had this knack to take what folk would throw away and use them to do something beyond understanding. That was an issue here now. There's an issue here, and we need to pay close attention to it. Now, and so then as Paul addresses that these gifts were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, not ministries, but for the one service, the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So now Paul says that we have an issue in servanthood. So he has given us examples of those that should serve. Are y'all listening to me? And as we look at the ones that God had depicted that would serve, He not one time said that they were perfect, but that God would use these gifts to perfect the body. Now, how can someone that has blemishes, wounded, rejected, cast away, thrown away, somebody else's trash, be used to clean something for Jesus? We gotta go a little deeper here now. We gotta go a little deeper here. I'm not there yet. I'm almost there. For the edifying of the body of Christ, well, watch this now, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, the thing that I want you to grab now is that Paul was not discussing titles. He was talking about spiritual gifts that would be used to perfect the body of Christ. Now, this is not a discussion about Christianity. I'm not talking about that, right? These gifts, as you heard me say a couple of weeks ago, are the GPS, the navigational system that God uses to orchestrate how he fixes and prepares his bride. If you have a gift and you try to control it, doesn't mean that the gift didn't come from God. It just means that you're not allowing God to use the gift to perfect you and others. You're trying to use the gift for your own gain and glory. But now Paul he expresses this now because there's an issue brewing. If there wasn't an issue going on, there would be no need to let them know that you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There would be no need to let them know that they would be used for the edifying of the body of Christ, for perfecting the saints. And then there would be no need to tell them till we all come into the unity of the faith. There must be somewhere where somebody is causing discord for Paul to address this situation. If there must be some disunity going on. And the real reason now he gets to here, and I want to get there because I believe this was the very essence of why he said what he said, right? And he says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. If I had it as a topic, and I usually don't use topics, I would believe that this particular passage of scripture, as one would say, would be, I'm not a child anymore. Or Paul addressing them to know that there are gifts in place and you ain't no child no more. And some may go a little bit deeper and read the rest and say that, you know, because he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and even craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. I believe this is the reason for Paul addressing the fact that there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He identifies these as the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because there was something brewing in Ephesus. A different doctrine, you may say, that was coming, but that they were experiencing, that may be causing confusion amongst the saints. Well, I hope y'all hear me here. And he gives them servants. I don't want to use the word leaders in this particular, because he said this is the ministry, the service of Jesus Christ. I believe that here Paul really now begins to address the reason for service, because there's a different sound going on. There's a different doctrine being taught, and it is causing a disunity. And now, see, this really echoed to me, because in this very time that we're in, we're hearing multiple doctrines. I want y'all to listen to me now. In these multiplicity of these doctrines, you know, some is making it okay because the ebb and flow, or the back and forth, is really dealing with people that have been vaccinated and folks that haven't. I've really gotten to the point in my life where if you want the shot, get the shot. If you don't want the shot, then don't get the shot. You know, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask unless, you know, there's something that deems you should. But don't be kicking, hollering, and screaming at those that decide to get the shot. Don't be looking down your nose at those that decided not to get the shot. And during this doctrine that we are experiencing, you know, and this, as Paul put it, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, the craftiness of the way people talk. And what we don't realize is what Paul was addressing is that these different doctoral situations that are going on, this confusion that has set in, this craftiness, sleight of hand, where tricks are being done and people are falling for it, is only because the enemy lie in wait to deceive you. Whew. I think this is the essence of the purpose of these gifts, as Paul mentioned this to the people in Ephesus, is that God has given you leaders, or let me not use that word, sorry, Lord, have given you servants, boy, I feel the presence of the Lord, have given you servants because there is a wind that is coming through that is tossing these people that say they believe, but yet are struggling. They're listening to these craftiness of men and the sleight of words and the things they say, playing with their minds like Satan did Eve. You know, God told her because she was a part of Adam and they were one. And so don't eat of this tree. But Satan comes the same way with a sleight of hand, the sleight of words, real crafty to deceive us. They have not God said, all of a sudden now to Eve, he's God and not Lord's God, because You know, when you remove Lord from it, the ruler, the reigner, then he's just gone. Have not God said. And so now listen here. We made biblical content complicated when it's yet so simple. Because if God is making leaders, then we are servants. Boy, I feel the presence of the Lord. I'm trying to hold myself together here. And as we are servants now, we can't be shifted by what folks say. We can't be moved by what people do and how they respond and how they act. I know folks are dying around here. I see the obituaries. I witness. My heart has been broken by my friends and loved ones and people that I know are leaving here. But don't remove your eyes from God. Ooh, Jesus. You servants that God has called and put the spirit of the ministry in, God is holding us now to serve him through these people that remain, that have questions. Why did God, you know, and why did God do this? And why did God take my daughter? Why did God take my son? Why did God remove her husband? Why did God take his wife and the children? Listen to me here. Now, it is vitally important, and I'm really trying to hold myself together, the presence of the Lord, because as these gifts now, I in my heart and in my spirit, we focus more on the gifts but not the issue that was happening around the children or the believers sitting in the city of Ephesus. That was a mixture of doctrine going on. That was some trickiness happening in the city. And you need not be children now, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, you have to now keep your eyes open. So I heard one of my friends say that I will not allow anybody to slip up on me, you know. And so now, but you know, Jude said it best, that they have crept in unawares, right? And so during this pandemic, we have left the door open because we wanted something, not from God, but we wanted something from man. And we felt like that our liberties, our freedom had been taken from us. And because we in this United States of America love to move around freely, we don't want restrictions. We want to go to movies. We want to walk into buildings that we call church. And we have a problem with people loading up on planes but folks not coming into the church building. As if God has a problem with you not going into a building. And as if God has a problem that you are not clapping your hands in a building. Praise God where you are. It does not matter if you walk into the building. I remember now from a biblical context that when the disciples, before they walked into the temple, they had a praise outside the temple. And some of us now need to be mindful because we become repetitiously repeaters of things that we heard. And we want to take these colloquialisms and euphemisms, and we want to take these affirmations and try to make them out of biblical content when they're not. Watch it now. That's a different doctrine going on now. It's not anything that God said. Watch it now. They're creeping in now. There's a door open, and they're now in your closet. They're putting on your clothes, and they're blending in, and they're whispering things that God did not say in your ear. Where are the servants today? I believe Paul wrote this letter because there was something going on with someone else saying something different than what God had said. And sometimes we've been around these people so long, we believe them to be telling the truth. And it's a different doctrine. And then when we hear truth, we have a problem with truth because we've been listening to a lie for so long. Can I be transparent with you tonight? Even I grew up Pentecostal in a holiness church and indoctrinated to believe the rigidness of this religion would say that if you don't believe what I believe, you're going to hell. And we would say that out of ignorance because that's what we heard come across the pulpit. We didn't hear love thy neighbor. We heard that if you are not with us, you're going to hell. And then that was the criteria of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. We had to be baptized first in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before you receive the Holy Ghost. But in this Bible, it says, and some received before they were baptized. Watch it now. There's something going on in the doctrine. And then it was the misinterpretation of Scripture. I'm just being transparent. And we killing the Word of God even today, where we believe that women should not wear pants. And nowhere biblically was that written. But from the interpretation of it, they would take a scripture that said that a woman should not wear anything pertaining to a man, so shall a man not wear anything pertaining to a woman. Wasn't talking about pants, neither was it talking about a dress. Talking about robing and the colors of it. Watch it now. We have a different doctrine going on. And when we take on these positions, we have a tendency to wound people or kick people out. As if we control the gate of people being a part of the body of Christ. Watch it now. It's a different doctrine. Watch it. And so now we try to accommodate people, and that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a Christian. And as much as you want to argue that point, there is nowhere in there where you see Jesus calling you a Christian. It says they were first called Christians in Antioch. But who called them then? Did Jesus recognize the people that followed him as Christians or believers or saints or friends? Watch it now. We have a different doctrine. And because of the complexity that we have made something so simple, there's a rift still going on silently because we haven't unified. Uh-oh. Isn't this that we would come together as one, the unity of the saints, the unity of the faith? These gifts were given to us because there was a dysfunction going on, a disunity. It wasn't to rule people. It wasn't to put their thumb on folks. But it was for the perfecting of the saints and the unity of the faith. Because, again, Jude said, there are those that have crept in unawares before of old to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Think about that, dear heart. The strength of this thing that we have looked at as government leadership are the government servants, the governmental servants in the body of Christ. Not the titles, but the functionality of them. How do they function? We are caught up in a spiritual storm. And some of us are not spiritually tied down. We're not stable. And we're getting tossed because we're believing everything except for Jesus. I want you to grab a hold of that, dear heart. When you read this scripture, look at it differently. That as we begin to read how Paul addressed this particular people, he didn't write this letter to the Romans. He did not write this letter to Philemon. He did not send this letter to Asia Minor. This went to a Pacific people. What am I saying? We have the privilege of reading this and we can collectively put all these things together and think that because I read it, then Paul also sent this letter to the rest of the people. Because everybody was aware of this. Did you not read this? But that letter wasn't to them. This letter was to this particular group of people. There are some things going on in your life that God is not sharing with other people. This was written directly to you. God is speaking directly to you, and he's not telling your story to someone else unless you're not willing to listen to him. But he loves you enough that this can remain between you and him. He loves you enough that exposure doesn't mean I'm going to make you look bad. Exposure means I have to do this so I can pull you in. You got too much different doctrine going on around you. And none of these represent God, the Lord God. There may be bits and pieces that you find in there, and you may be able to, as some folks say, get the meat and throw away the bones. But I thought of what Jesus said, that a little leaven spoils the whole loaf. We cannot love who we want to and reject the others. If we're going to love, we got to love everybody. Even though that we will have to do good to because they despitefully use you. Dear hearts, the importance of this tonight is not to focus on so much the apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but to focus on the fact that Paul was saying that he's gone now. He has descended and ascended. He's gone now. He's left something for us. And in these gifts, we have to grab a hold of these servants. We cannot be children anymore, gullible to and fro because someone says something that sounds good, but ain't no truth in it. Many people go to the ministry, but we start acting like cults because we start worshiping people. That's a different doctrine, and we get tossed being a part of that doctrine. Dear heart, I want you to stay connected to Jesus. I want you to be in a position to where God can use you and the gift that you have. This message is to all those that believe the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers wasn't the key to this. These are the gifts. Key is that Paul saw something in the midst of the believers that made them separate themselves from one another, that caused them now to believe a lie. They crept in unaware. Now they look like believers. Now they sound like believers. Now they've learned how to speak in tongues like believers. They can't love like them. They went in your closet and you can't see they have your clothes on. You cannot see the fact that they have your shoes on. Now they look like us. They act like us. They dress like us. And you can't tell the difference because the real gift of discernment is not operating. This is what Paul was addressing. There's a doctrine going through the earth that is causing a great division amongst the saints, is disunifying them. And we are not coming together like we should. Dear hearts, if you could pray with me real quickly. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the real message is coming now. We're not reading from the surface. You're pulling us in. And God, as we go deeper into this thing, it's not how we magnify the gifts or these titles, but the reason why you gave them to us. You're going to use these gifts to perfect your bride, and that she be ready when you return. Lord, I thank you, oh God. I thank you for your presence, oh Lord. I thank you for the gift that you've manifested in me. God, I praise you because I walk now with no pain. I know you are a healer. And God, I glorify you in the midst of it. Father, I pray, God, as your listeners, your people, close their eyes tonight, that they have their spirit of discernment operating, Father. They can catch these deceitful, cunning, crafty spirits that are trying to separate them from your love. I bless you, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, I am grateful again. Next week, I will probably be going into the book, if the Lord should say so. I'm celebrating 2 weeks of being out of surgery, and I am walking literally almost without any assistance. My back is straight. My legs are getting stronger. I'm just praising God for it all. God is just extremely good to me. And I want to encourage you, you know, to continue on. I'm going to be in Rome, Georgia next Sunday morning at Bishop Guthrie's for the Feed My Sheep ministry. And I invite those to, if you don't know about it, shoot me a message on Facebook, or if you have my telephone number and you want to be up in the area. I have no idea what. I have been asked to share a word. And so, but I want to obey the Lord, and I know God is going to do something big. You know, I recognize some stuff within myself and that God is showing me, and I'm excited about what he shows me, you know, I don't want you to be excited about me. I want you to be excited about what God is doing in your life. And you need to be able to see that to appreciate that. Before we close tonight and I say goodnight,
I want to give my condolences to some people that lost their mother. They had and people that lost a friend. I don't want to call their names out because I didn't get permission to do that, but I do want to say that I love you all. My hearts are with you. Let's unify as the body of Christ. Let's unify. There is no big eyes and little U's. There's only Jesus. In him do I serve, and he is who I worship. God bless you all. I appreciate you. Until next week, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. God bless you.